أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
We were discussing in that previous Thursday about the divine value system and we talked about a series of values and to get an idea about what exactly we mean when we talk about the value system of Islam. And today is the turn for discussing about the hasad. The concept of hasad. We have two things in our Islamic morality. One is called hasad and the other one is called ghibta. And the difference between hasad and ghibta is defined as in hasad and jealousy, a person wants in his heart zawalun ni'ma min al-ghayr. That means the ni'mat of Allah no longer remains with someone. So this person who is hasid and jealous, when he looks at some ni'mat found with somebody, he does not tolerate it. He wants that ni'mat of Allah to be removed from this person. This is what we call hasad and jealousy. Whereas ghibta in the Islamic morality means that when you look at the ni'mat and blessing Allah has given to someone, you do not wish in your heart that ni'mat, that blessing is taken away from that person. Instead, you wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the similar blessing the way He has given to that person. This is a very good thing. This is actually appreciated. This is something that we need to do. Whenever we look at the blessings around us, you know, we need to basically thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Allah, He is the source of all the blessings, and we pray to Allah, we turn towards Him, that He provides us the same blessings, similar blessings, the way He gave to others, which obviously should make ourselves to think that we need to make ourselves ahl and deserving to receive the blessings. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the blessings according to our ahliyat, how much we deserve. The one who, the same Allah who is even sending his adab based on ahliyat and adl and justice. Isn't it right? Yaman adabuhu adlun. Yaman la yukhafu illa adluhu. O you whose punishment is justice. So Jahannam and hellfire is the madhar and reflection of the justice of God. There is no injustice going on against anybody. And the hellfire is nothing but justice being served. These people deserve that. They ask for it. So basically, the same Allah who does justice when punishing, why wouldn't He do justice when He's blessing, with His blessings? So Allah always does justice. Isn't it right? So Allah does the justice, and so basically, whatever is just, Allah performs that. So we need to be careful about the evil attribute of hasad that we are discussing. This is regarded as one of those al-ma'asi al-qalbiyya, as one of the sins which are related to the heart. We have sins related to several parts of the body. Isn't it right? Sins related to the eyes, sins related to the hands, sins related to the tongue, which are the largest in number, 46 approximately, sins related to the feet. Isn't it right? Sins related to the private parts, sins related to the stomach, sins related to the ears, and sins related to our qalb, the heart, the soul. That means even, and this is one of the examples of the ones which are in the heart. So even inside our heart, we're not doing anything practically and physically. We're not using our hands and feet or walking around or going physically somewhere, isn't it right, to do something practically with the parts and limbs of our body. We are staying in our home, let's suppose. But even if you are staying at home, even deep down in your heart, if you have hasad and jealousy and envy towards someone who has a blessing of Allah given to him, and you wish in your heart that I wish that blessing no longer stays with him. So this is something un-Islamic, and this is something which is a big haram. It's a greater, bigger sin, and this is something which is condemned, aqlan and shar'an. So, the problem related to the sins of the qalb. Whenever we are dealing with the sins related to the qalb and heart and the soul of the person, this can only be addressed and resolved through knowledge and ilm and amal, through knowledge and practicing. So we need to first of all increase in our knowledge. A hasid, a person who is jealous, having jealousy or envy towards someone, must understand first of all the process the blessings are given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he understands the process, if he increases in knowledge towards this matter, it will help him to eradicate this spiritual illness. First of all, we need to increase our knowledge by understanding how a blessing, a ni'mat comes and why. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives his ni'mat based on how a person or a something deserves to get it. We don't believe in qismat, naseeb. There is no room in qismat and naseeb in Islam. We believe in qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qismat is an un-Islamic belief. This is my qismat, this is my fortune. There is no fortune, and there is nothing fortunate and nothing unfortunate in Islam. This is an un-Islamic conversation. In Islam, we do not believe in qismat and naseeb. We believe in qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is based on al-hikmatul mutlaqa, absolute wisdom of God, and his hikmat al-mutlaqa, his absolute wisdom, is nothing but his knowledge, which is absolute. Because hikmat is ayn al-zaat, this sifat and attribute of Allah is nothing but his essence, and ilm likewise is ayn al-zaat. So his hikmat is basically nothing but his knowledge, and his knowledge is nothing but his hikmat, and they are both part of his, not part of his, they are nothing but his zat. So his zat and hikmat is one and the same thing. His zat and knowledge is one and the same thing, not part of it. That's an incorrect statement. So we need to first understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the ni'mats based on his absolute wisdom. So wishing in heart towards somebody to that the ni'mat gets removed, it's not going to take us anywhere. Does the hasid person thinks that by wishing in his heart he can make a difference? Are you calling the shots? Are you the one who provides the ni'mat to anybody in the universe or takes away the ni'mat from somebody? We neither provide the ni'mat nor we can take away the ni'mat. Isn't that right? It's Allah who provides and Allah who takes. Our naf and larar, our benefit and harm in our Islamic belief system is in the hands of Allah only, not the humans. No human can benefit you if Allah doesn't wish. And no human can harm you if Allah does not wish. And if Allah has wished and willed for that harm to happen, then nobody can block it. So basically, hasid is wasting his time because by wishing in his heart, he cannot make a difference, he cannot change it, he cannot alter, he cannot remove the ni'mat from that person. So sending la'nat, curse on somebody is even a further sign of himaqat and silliness. If anyone sends a la'nat on any person who does not deserve it, this is the sign of himaqat and silliness and jahl. We will come to the la'nat concept inshallah very soon as we are moving towards various values of Islamic akhlaq one by one in the Thursday nights. So, but because I just mentioned la'nat, so I'll just say one thing and move forward. That in the concept of la'nat, we learn in the light of the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, if a person sends the la'nat on somebody and that somebody does not deserve, what happens is that when the la'nat, the curse is said, the la'nat is raised up. And then, first of all, if the person who sends the la'nat, he deserves that kind of la'nat himself, the la'nat first and foremost returns back to himself. If he does not deserve the la'nat, then it goes to the person who deserves it. So there is no, we cannot play with Allah's wisdom, you know. There is no room for emotions in Islam. There is no room for anyone to manipulate the divine absolute wisdom. It's going to happen the way it's going to happen according to His wisdom. So even, you know, going one step farther and sending la'anat, which is one step beyond having the hasad, is not going to resolve nothing, because the la'anat will return back to the la'in, to the one who is cursing. It will return back to him if he deserves that. So what requires is that a hasid, scholars of akhlaq say, the hasid and jealous person should increase in his knowledge, understand the process of how a ni'mat and blessing is awarded by Allah to somebody based on the qada and qadr, not the qismat, not fortune, not something suddenly taking place, ittifaqan. We don't believe in ittifaq in Islam. Nothing is coincidental. Then nothing in the universe is happening coincidentally. Everything, even a leaf is falling down according to Allah's wisdom. When and where and how much something needs to happen. So we need to understand the qada and qadr, and that will help him understand the process of ni'mat. So hasid is, we realize that hasid is basically harming no one else but his own self. He is not harming the mahsood, the person he is jealous about is called mahsood. The mahsood person does not receive any harm from the hasid. So even if he has whatever feelings towards him, he is not going to alter the situation of the mahsood, the person about whom he is feeling the jealousy. So hasad increases in his own pain, in his own azab, in his own punishment. He's punishing his own self, in his own hum and gham, that means sorrow and his own hardships. So أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ. This is from Surah An-Nisa, verse 54, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you know, in other words, بَلْكَ, that they are having jealousy towards the people, annas, عَلَىٰ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ, upon what Allah gave him from his fadl. So, nas here, people, having jealousy against towards the people. People is interpreted in the tafsir by our fuqaha, our mufassireen, as the Prophet and his family. Please say salawat. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given from his fadl to, you know, to them. So, and there are people who are exercising hasad towards the Prophet and his family. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his wahi. Allah sent his wahi to Prophet Musa, Yabna Imran, لا تحسد الناس على ما آتيتهم من فضلي ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ذلك. Don't have hasad towards the people for, you know, what I gave to them from my fadl, and don't don't focus, don't have your eyes towards that, in other words. وَلَا تَتْبَعُهُ نَفْسُكَ فَإِنَّ الْحَاسِدْ سَاخِتٌ لِلنِّعَمِي صَادٌ لِقِسْمِي أَلَّذِي قَسَمْتُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِي. So the hasid person is angry, is showing his anger, he's doing his anger over my ni'mats, my blessings. And he's blocking Allah's distribution that he distributed between his slaves, his servants. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Ala la tu'adu ni'am Allah. His Prophet is warning the Ashab, and this hadith obviously is applicable in terms of its mafhum to all of us. You know, till the Day of Judgment, the teachings of Rasulullah are equally applicable to all the masadiq. So who, you know, fall in that category. So we are also supposed to do the same. Don't have enmity towards the blessings of Allah. قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَمَنِ الَّذِي يُعَادِي نِعَمَ اللَّهِ. Somebody asked the Prophet, who is the person who is having enmity towards the blessings of Allah? And Prophet replied, الَّذِينَ يَحْسُدُونَ. Those people who have hasad. So people who have hasad basically are having enmity and adawat towards Allah's blessings. So Imam Ali والسلام, says, so there are three ahadith here. Al-hasudu ghadbanun alal qadar. That means a hasid person is angry over the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like a few minutes ago I mentioned that ni'mats are given according to the qadr and qadr of Allah. Divine destiny and divine decision. So, al-hasadu sharrul amrad. Hasad is the worst of all the illnesses. Al-hasadu la yashfihi illa zawalun ni'ma. Nothing can cure the hasid person except when the ni'mat is gone. So basically, we know the ni'mat is not going to be gone. Allah is the one who is providing the ni'mat. So ni'mat is going to stay with everyone as long as the person is ahl for that and deserving for that ni'mat. So the hasid is going to constantly punish his own self because his cure is the zawal of the ni'mat, and ni'mat is not going to go away. Isn't it right? So now let's go to the sifat of hasid. In ilm al-akhlaq, in the knowledge of Islamic morality, we learn that there are certain attributes that the hasid person has. First, we learn from the light of the, and these are all ahadith that I have in my mind to inform you. In Amir Mumin alayhi salam hadith, he says, al-hasidu yafrahu bis-shar wa yaghtammu bis-surur. That's the first sifat of the hasid. The first attribute of a jealous and hasid person is that he becomes happy over the shar, the evil. Isn't it right? So let's suppose somebody has lost a ni'mat. This person will become happy. And he becomes sorrowful, ghamzada, over the happiness of somebody. If somebody is happy because Allah has given him some ni'mat, this person is sorrowful over that situation. This is the first sign of the first sifat of the hasid. The second sign with which we recognize is as al-hasidu yara anna zawal al-ni'ma amman yahsuduhu ni'matun alayhi. The second sifat and attribute of the hasid is that he thinks that if the ni'mat is gone from that person, from that mahsud, this is going to add ni'mat for him. How he believes. Although it's not going to add any ni'mat for him. So this is not going to happen. Third of all, al-hasidu يُظْهِرُ وُدَّهُ فِي أَقْوَالِهِ وَيُخْفِي بُغْضَهُ فِي أَفْعَالِهِ. This is how we recognize the hasid person in the society, that he will express his love in his statements, and he will express his, he will hide his enmity in his actions. So the actions that he will do will have his enmity hidden in it, but in his tongue he will have a sweet talk and he will continue to express his love. So this is what makes the hasid person to fall in the category of nifaq, because his call and fail will be dual-sided. Isn't it right? His hasad is so bad, it will land us in the domain of nifaq. And then Imam Ali alayhi salam says that So the hadith didn't end. He says, وَيُخْفِي بُغْضَهُ فِي أَفْعَالِهِ فَلَهُ إِسْمُ الصَّدِيقِ وَصِفَةُ الْعَدُوِ. So hasid person has the name of a friend, but the attribute of an enemy. I mean, his behavior is like an enemy's behavior, but he is, you know, he is dubbed in the society. He will be known as a friend, because that's how he will have a sweet talk. So he'll have a name of a friend, but the attribute of the enemy. Then Imam Islam says, we are learning the signs how to recognize a hasid in the society. So then he says well, this is not Imam Ali's hadith. This is what was narrated, that Qala Luqman li ibnihi, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, Lil hasid salasu alamat. Hasid person has three signs. Yaghtabu idha ghaba. He will do ghibat when he's away. He's absent. That means away from that person. He's going to do ghibat. He'll talk bad. Well, talk bad. It is bad, but let's remember, ghibat is always true. Isn't it right? It's never a lie. Because people say, you know, I'm not lying, he said that. Well, that's true, you're not lying, but still ghibat. Even if you're saying the truth, even if you're saying a haq, but this is not, you don't have the right to say the truth about a mu'min behind his back. It is true if you're saying a false statement, it would be worse, it would be tohmat. So ghibat is always true. But that doesn't give us a license to say every sifq and truth everywhere where Allah did not allow us to say that. Ghibat is always true. So yaghtabu idha ghaba, first sign of hasid, he'll do ghibat when he's absent, when away from the mahsud, he's going to do the ghibat. Wayatamallaqu idha shahida, he's going to do tamalluq, chaplosi, when he's, you know, present. Wa yushmitu bil musiba, when a person is inflicted with a musibat, he is going to do shamatat. Shamatat means saying words of taunting that hurts the feeling of the person who is affected. So that's the third sign of the hasid person, in other words. Now let's, after we have learned about the signs of the hasid, now let's move forward to the nataij. Nataij and asar. If a person has hasad in his spirituality, there will be certain nataij and aftermaths of this spiritual illness. And this is also we learn in the light of the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. The first is azab and hasrat and ta'allum. A person is causing punishment for his own self. Al-hasadu ahadul azabain. Amir Mumin alayhi salam says hasad is one of the two punishments. Ihtimalan, the second punishment what he is talking about may be the punishment in the akhirat, which the hasid is certainly going to get unless if he performs tawbah before death. So this is one of the two punishments that he's getting. Hasad itself is a punishment. If a person has hasad, this hasad itself is a punishment for his own self. If he understands, it is a punishment. And al-hasadu mutiyatu ta'ab is the vehicle of exhausting yourself, tiring up yourself. If you are riding this vehicle of hasad, you are bound to get tired and exhausted without getting any result. In other words, this is not part of the hadith I am explaining to you. And al-hasudu kathirul hasarat mutadha'afu sayyi'at. Hasood person, the third natija, the third aftermath of having hasad is that he will have lots of hasrat and repentances. So, see, hasrat is the repentance that we get when the time is gone. That's called hasrat. If the time is still there and you repent, this is not called hasrat, this is called nadamat. Nadamat is good. Because Amir Mumin alayhi salam has said in his hadith, "An-nadmu tawbatun." Nadamat is tawbah. So if a person, if God forbid, if I sin, and after sinning I have nadamat and repentance in my qalb, repentance itself is the tawbah. That's enough to be tawbah. Because my true repentance will certainly force me to do the tawbah with all of its eight conditions met. And then right, so repentance is tawbah. Repentance is where you can fix the problem. And hasrat is there where you are now unable to fix the problem. It's already too late. So hasrat, one of the more than 100 names, Yawm al-Akhirah, the Day of Judgment, has more than 100 names in Islam. And one of those more than 100 names is Yawm al-Hasrah. When the day when the people will have hasrat. Well, hasrat works two ways. Hasrat of fixing their harams and hasrat of doing the good deeds. Both. I wish I had listened to the Prophet. I wish I had listened to the Holy Quran and didn't get fooled by the Western freedom. It's my right. I'm free to do what I wish to do. So al-hasood kaseer al-hasarat. Hasood person has lots of hasrats, mutadha'afu sayyi'at. He has multiplied sins, several folds of sins piling up over the other. So every moment, see, I remember I mentioned in the beginning of my speech that hasad is from the al-ma'asi al-qalbiyya. That means the sins which are heart-based sins related to the heart. And also in Ilm al-Akhlaq, our teachers say that that hasad is also part of the al-ma'asi al-aniyya, al-da'iniyya, not aniyya. We have ma'asi which are aniyya. That means it's a momentary sins. You do it once and it's done. Is that right? Let's suppose, God forbid, somebody misses his prayers and becomes qada. This is a ma'asiyat which is aniyya. One moment, you know, he did that sin, and after that, it's done. He's not constantly repeating the sin. So it's a momentary category of sin, and ma'asiyatun aniyya. And then the second category of sin is what we call al-ma'asi ad-da'imiyya, the constant, the permanent sins, which are constantly written in the book of deeds, non-stop. But there are certain sins which are non-stop sins. A person has done it once in his life only, not twice. But because the sin itself is a constant category of sin, so it is constantly written by the angel, this person is doing it, he's doing it, he's doing it, he's doing it, although he did it once. Because the sin itself falls in the category of the ma'asi ad-da'imiyya. We must understand. Hasad is one of those sins. So if a person has hasad, so this is, you know, is unless he does the tawbah, this, you know, this is constantly increasing in his deeds. And then we find that Amir Mumin alayhi salam says that al-hasadu yuzibul jasad. That's another natija and asar and impact of hasad. Hasad is going to melt down the body. Al-hasadu yuzibul jasad. It will melt down the body. What that means is going to affect your health, your physical health as well. A hasid person can never stay physically healthy. That's another impact of the hasad, because his body will melt down and will be impacted with this spiritual illness. And also another hadith which he says, al-hasudu abadan alil. Hasud is always ill. So this is about first type of the nata'id. Now let's move to the second, which is shaqa fi dunya wal akhirah. Shaqawat means becoming stone-hearted or worse, reaching a point. We have qasawatul qalb, a person becomes qasiyul qalb, means stone-hearted or worse than that. And then a person moves forward in the sins without doing the tawbah, still he reaches the stage where it is called shaqawatul qalb, he becomes shaqiyul qalb. So shaqawatul qalb is a stage of point of no return. So hasad leads us towards the shaqawatul qalb in dunya and akhirat. See, Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, samaratul hasad shaqa'ud dunya wal akhirah. That means the fruit, the result, the fruit of hasad is shaqawat in dunya and akhirat. And also another impact of hasad, as we are discussing the nata'ij and impacts of asar of hasad, is inkhifad al-manzila wa inhitat al-martaba wa nufur al-nas. A person falling down and basically dropping from his status, falling from his status and his position in the eyes of the community, and people ending up to hate him. This is one of the impacts of the hasad. When a person has hasad, he will drop down from his status in the society and he become hated person in the community. So we find that in the hadith of Amir Mumin alayhi salam, he says that bi'sar rafiq al hasud, that the worst of the companions, worst companion is the hasood person. And also he says, man taraka al hasada kanat lahu muhabbatan 'inda an-nas. Whoever quits the hasad, it will he will have muhabbat and love in the eyes of the people, in other words. So this is very significant, because every person in the society wants and wishes to be respected and loved in the eyes of the community, isn't it right? So one of the factors that help us to get respected and keep our respect and keep our the love in the eyes of people is to avoid the hasad. Well, obviously we are not doing it for the sake of the people, we do it for the qurbatan Allah, but this is one of the benefits that we are going to get. And the fifth harm that the hasad, fifth nati, bad impact that the hasad provides, is the fact that a person is harming his own self and is basically depriving him from the from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hasidu mudurrun binafsihi qabla an yadurra bil-mahsood ka iblis. So we find Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that the hasid person is harmful towards his own self before he can harm the mahsood, like iblis. أَوْرَسَ بِحَسَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ اللَّعْنَةَ وَلِآدَمَ الْإِجْتِبَاعِ. Iblis caused la'nat and curse because of hasad for himself and for Adam alayhi salam, al-ijtiba, that means getting chosen. So Adam alayhi salam ended up becoming the chosen one, and Iblis ended up becoming the cursed one. So he did not benefit his own self, isn't it right? He harmed his own self, he could not harm Hazrat Adam. So obviously, the prime cause of Iblis thrown out from the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was his hasad towards Adam and towards the noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, which was found in the qalb of Prophet Adam when Allah blew into him the soul which was carrying the noor of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wa salam. And also he showed the takabbur. So his crime, he has two crimes. You know, he has two crimes, hasad and takabbur, which caused him to do the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next and the sixth impact, as we are discussing the nata'ij and asar of hasad, the next impact is huzn and ham, being sorrowful and becoming sorry and in sorrow. So Amir Mumini alayhi salam says, ma ra'aytu zaliman ashbah bi mazlumin min al hasid. So he has obviously the qalbun ha'im wa huznun lazim. So yakfika min al hasid an yakhtam waqta sururika. So we find that he says, I haven't seen any zalim person who is more resembling towards mazloom than hasid. So a hasid person will always have huzn, which will stick with him. This is the basically result of the hasad. Seventh impact and natija, and that's the last one, the last natija of hasad, if someone has the spiritual illness of hasad, is zihab al hasanat wa ghadab Allah. And this is the sifat which makes the hasid resemble with the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We mentioned a while ago the sifat of the hasid person, that he, in the light of the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that in his aqwal he will show the muhabbat, in his af'al he's similar, he hides his enmity, which is dual-sided behavior, similar to the munafiqeen, isn't it right? But now we are discussing another natija, which is very much similar to what we learn about the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. That's how the enemies are described. So look at what the hadith says about the hasid. Here, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إياكم والحسد فإن الحسد يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحسد الحطب. So keep away from hasad, because hasad eats up the good deeds the way the fire eats up the firewood. So this is how we learn about the enemies and the bughz of Amir Mumin alayhi salam. If somebody has the hatred towards Imam Ali alayhi salam, the bughz of Amir Mumin alayhi salam will eat up all the good deeds of the person, just like the fire consumes the firewood. Also from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, here is the hadith where he says, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ لَا يَأْكُلُ الْإِيمَانِ. This is very important. حسد لا يأكل الإيمان كما تأكل النار الحطب. So hasad is certainly going to eat up the iman, the way the fire
consumes the firewood. So like I said, this is the way we learn about the enemies of enmity of Imam Ali towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is the way the hadith says, "Hubbu Ali," you know, "Hasanatun la tazurru ma'aha sayyatun." Isn't it right? The love of Imam Ali alayhi salam is a good deed that no sin is going to harm along with that. وَبُغْضُهُ سَيِّئَةٌ, and his hatred is a sin, is a bad deed. That لَا تَنْفَعُ مَعَهَا حَسَنَةٌ, that along with that no good deed will benefit. So this kind of behavior is related to the love and hate of Imam Ali salam that we learn about the hasad. So hasad, we can understand in the light of these ahadith that a mu'min should not have the hasad. It's not something that is in sync with the iman of the mu'min, because if a person has a hasad, then his iman will be eaten up by the hasad and he will no longer survive as a mu'min. إِيَّاكُمْ أَنْ يَحْسُدَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا فَإِنَّ الْكُفْرَ أَصْلُهُ حَسَدٌ.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that keep away from some of you having hasad towards some other, because the root of hasad is kufr.
So this is a little description about the hasad. Obviously,
we find that in the story of Habil and Qabil. So when Habil alayhi salam was given the mawaris of Nabi Hazrat Adam according to the amr and command of Allah, not from his own self personal decision, upon the command of Allah transferred the mawaris, the miras of ilm and of nubuwwat towards Habil alayhi salam. What happened is that Qabil ended up having hasad. One of the best examples in this story of stories of Islam is this. So Qabil ended up having hasad towards his younger brother, and he objected on his father that, "Am I not the elder brother? And am I not supposed to get the miras of nubuwwat?" And Hazrat Adam alayhi salam told him, "It's not up to me to decide." In other words, from Allah. Yeah, Allah commanded me to do that, and that's why I did it. That means this was not his personal decision to decide. And then finally it was settled that you both provide a qurban. That means a qurbani, a sacrifice. Give something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that ahad, in those days, the sign of accepting of the qurbani, the qurban, the sacrifice, was that a fire will come and it will hit and burn down the sacrifice. So whosoever sacrifice is burned down by the fire coming from Allah's behalf, his sacrifice is accepted. And this is the alamat. So a person would then realize that whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting for whom and not accepting for whom. So both of them provided their sacrifices. Qabil provided a very lowly and radi and tast thing there. And Habil had his own animals, he had his own animals that he were, taking care of. So he provided one of the best animals that he had, and the fire came and hit the animal which was presented as sacrifice by Habil alayhi salam. And that's where we find Shaitan comes in. And Iblis came and did this waswasa in the qalb of Qabil. You see, your sacrifice is rejected by Allah. So now, what's going to happen is like this. You both will end up having children, and the nasl of the humans will continue from both of you. So till the end, that means till the end of this world, in other words, the entire nasl of Habib will feel proud over your nasl, that their father's sacrifice was not accepted, and their, that means Qabil's father, Qabil is the father, ancestor of his nasl, isn't it right? So the children of Habil will feel proud that their father's sacrifice was accepted, but your children's father, that means you, Qabil, your sacrifice was not accepted. So the best thing is that instead of causing so much pain for your entire nasl and children in the future, just kill this Habil guy so that your entire nasl will not end up in this pain. That was the waswasa, the shaitan. This is what we call in ilm al-akhlaq as tasweel. Isn't it right? بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ تَصْوِيل. Shaitan never ever, Shaitan is not stupid. He never presents his case in a bad and ugly way. He presents his case in a very nice package, you know, with red ribbon, beautifully packed to deceive the people with very sweet sounding slogans. So otherwise people are not going to be deceived that simply. He's not stupid. So he always presents the case. This is how what in ilm al-akhlaq we call tasweel. Yani arastan. Yani you muzayyan. Making the bad thing appear so good in your eyes. And when the person, the meal and conscience gets fooled, because he lacks the taharatul qalb to overcome his desires, so when his dhamir and conscience get fooled, then he falls prey to the deception of shaitan and he does it. So obviously he killed his brother, and basically he gets the awab of killing the entire humanity. He's the one who taught the humans to kill. Isn't that right? So this is how hasad can land a person to that kind of kufr and zalalat and gumrahi. So this, the ni'mats of this dunya, before I come to the end of my speech, the ni'mat and blessings of this dunya are the material blessings of this dunya are not worth, first of all. The metaphysical blessings is what we need to eye on. We need to focus on the ma'naviyat. Those are the blessings that we need to focus on. If the maddi blessings are something we need to rejoice, then this is what the kuffar and munafiqeen have always had more than us. Isn't that right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not agree with this dunya to become a jaza for a mu'min, and did not agree for this dunya to become an azab for the kafir. Whatever is happening is a partial azab, and whatever jaza that some people are receiving are partial mukafatul amal, partial jaza, not completely. Completely, Allah did not agree for this dunya to become a complete place of rewarding and complete place of punishing. So this maddi things of the dunya are not worth that at all. Neither positively nor negatively, neither as a jaza for a mu'min nor as an adab for a kafir. Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam had his shirt having several patches on it. And so much that he himself says in Nahjul Balagha, "Istahyaytu min raqi'iha." I was having haya and sharm. "Istahyaytu min raqi'iha." I had sharm in from the person, because when he took the shirt to the tailor to patch another patch over to, you know, to correct the, it was ripped apart. It was torn. So when he went to the tailor, he was feeling sharm and haya in front of him. So, and a person said to him, "Ala tambidhuha, why don't you just throw it away?" And Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam replied that, "Go away. Inda sabahe yuhmadul qawmus surah." That means in the morning, the people who are traveling in the night are praised. That means when the morning arrives, then the people who are traveling in the night are praised. So Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam
was like this. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to patch, he used to fix his own shoe himself, his own cloth himself, sleep on the soil, on the ground, sit with his slaves, eating the food. These are things which in those, if you look at that Arab society of those days, where almost everybody has slaves, and slaves never used to eat next to the masters. In that kind of society, when our holy prophet, which is the superior, most superior messenger, is always sitting with his slaves. This is a very big thing. Obviously Prophet freed the slaves. Islam opposes slavery. But what I'm saying is that sitting next to the slaves, Prophet always freed the slaves. So he was sitting on a donkey, he used to ride a donkey, and without a saddle. Riding a donkey without a saddle, that was not a tradition. People used to feel bad. How would I ride a donkey without a saddle? And not just that, يَرْدَفُ خَلْفَهُ. Amir Mu'minin alayhi salam says in his hadith, talking about the Prophet, Prophet used to add another person on the back of the animal behind him. This is not part of the hadith what I am going to say. This is also another thing that people used to consider as something which is going to decrease my respect. If I allow another person to sit behind my back, obviously the space is less, so I will end up sitting in a tight way, I will not relax on the back of the animal. So people used to avoid having anybody else sitting on their back. But Prophet always used to allow someone else sit behind his back. This is the peak of tawadhu that you can expect. Just like this person was coming from... coming from his travel from Juhfa, and he comes and meets with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and Imam alayhi salam says that you did Jafa on us. In other words, this is Madmuna Riwaya I'm narrating. This moment said, Yabna Rasulullah, what did I do wrong on you? He said, Imam said, on your way when you were coming, you met a Shia, a mu'min person there, standing in the desert, in other words. And he asked you to make him sit behind your back on the animal. And you refused it. You did Jafa on us, Ahlul Bayt. So if we refuse one mu'min person that we can provide the help, but we are intentionally rejecting it, this equals to doing Jafa on Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.